Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Our God deserves all the praise we can give Him. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy means happy. Happy Mother's Day. Some of y'all are mad about it, I guess. We're going to do something a little bit different today. Wednesday, I'd prepared a message on Mary, the mother of Jesus. But man, you just have to listen to the Spirit of the living God. And so He wanted me to go to a genealogy list. How many of y'all like to read through genealogies in the Bible? Right? That's what I thought. But they're important. And you can learn a lot from somebody's family tree. Right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. All right? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 1. And if you've got a copy of God's Word, let's stand as we honor the reading of His Word. Matthew 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Well, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Now, David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Who is that? Bathsheba. That's right. Now jump down to verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. One of my great buddies is here this morning. He usually shows up on Mother's Day and comes down here first before he goes to his mama's home church and his home church, our home church. He and I grew up together, played ball together, spent the night at one another's home. Blake Parks, I love you, brother. Ask God to bless the word tonight, would you? Today, this morning.
We're here today in the house. Father, we call you in right now. Father, it's all together fitting based on your word and your honor on us. That's what you tell us to do. We're here to do that today. Thank you for the day that sets aside. You bless us all for us.
Yes, Father.
Father, bless this word today. Take us out of here more boldly and faithfully. We prepare to enter this world. You put us in this season. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Before my father passed away, he got into studying, you know, genealogies and specifically our family tree. And he studied our family, went back over 500 years to the old country. And you know what he found out? We had some folks in our family tree that were big in government and politics. We had some folks in our family tree that were highly educated. And we had some folks that were professionals. I don't even know how you describe, like pastors and preachers and doctors and lawyers and professors and nurses, people, you know, in those types of professions. But let me tell you, there was also some folks in our family tree with some questionable character. Right? I mean, we found out we had some jailbirds in our family tree. We had some adulterers. We had some liars. We had some thieves. We even had one lady, she was my great aunt, who spent her entire inheritance, and it was a large sum of money, who blew it all out in Las Vegas. Yeah, she was a movie star, which counts for absolutely nothing now, right? So you can learn a lot by taking a look at your family tree. Well, the good and the bad and the ugly. What about the Lord's family tree? Well, we're going to take a look at it this morning, and we're going to draw some truth from it. We can learn from a genealogy list. Now, there's five females listed in this in Matthew's. He mentions five females, which was really out of the ordinary. Because you didn't normally, you know, it was a man's world back in the day and all of that. And you didn't usually put women publicly in the family tree, posted for everybody to see. And some of these ladies that he does mention, questionable backgrounds, okay? But we can learn something about God from these five women. Are y'all ready? Yeah. Go ahead and lie to me. Say, yeah, we're ready, Pastor. All right. Let's take a look at five of them. And the first one is Tamar. And I kind of describe her as the determined widow. Now, Tamar is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 3 as the mother of Judah's twin boys, Perez and Zerah. And her story, I don't have time to go through all this, but it's in Genesis chapter 38, okay? And it tells of a woman who faced great injustice. And after her husband, now Tamar was Canaanite. She was not a Jewish girl, okay? She's a foreigner, all right? And she marries into Judah's family. She marries his firstborn son, Ur. Well, Ur was such a wicked man. You know what God did? He took him out. By the way, your lifestyle means something. And so God killed him. You can read about it in Genesis 38. And back in the day, Levirate marriage law said that if a woman didn't have any children and her husband died, then the next son in line was to provide that inheritance for her and give her children. Well, so she goes to the second son, whose name is Onan. Say, oh my, with me. Oh my. Onan didn't agree and go along with exactly what his father, Judah, asked him to do. And so God got upset with him, and you know what he did to Onan? You're out of here. I didn't know God killed anybody. He kills all kinds of folks in the Bible. That's why he's God and we're not. Well, you got a third son by the name of Shelah, Shelah. And I think Judah, the dad, is wondering, now, if I turn my third son loose on Tamar, I need to have my son. And so he promises Tamar, you can be a widow and stay in our home, and we'll take care of things. And then when the time's right, I'll provide my third son under this Levirate law that we're in as the next of kin, okay? Well, this went on for several years. And so you know what Tamar does? She takes matters into her own hands. How many of us have done that? Oh, come on, every hand in the building ought to go up. And so what she does is she dresses up like a prostitute, a harlot. And she goes out to the city street, and she's got her face covered. And guess who comes walking by and propositions her? No. Her father-in-law, Judah. And so he propositions her, and she said, well, what have you got to give me? And he says, well, I'll bring you a nice animal. And she said, well, I need some security. And so he gives her his ring, a cord, and his staff. And then they go do, you know, that thing. Well, guess what? She winds up pregnant with Judah's twin sons. the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And so Judah gets wind that his daughter-in-law is pregnant and she has no husband. And so he's fixing to have her executed. Y'all with me so far? Okay, well, she's standing there before God and everybody, and she says, well, yeah, I am pregnant, but these things, these three things, this staff and this cord and this ring belong to the man who impregnated me. And every dog in the neighborhood knew whose stuff that was. And Judah says, you are more righteous than I am. And declares her innocence. And the firstborn, Perez, the twin, one of the twins, he winds up in the lineage of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a crazy event? Now there was some scripture way over there, I believe it's Genesis 49 and verse 10, that says that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Well, Perez is the son of Judah. And you see how God was working in this circumstance? And by the way, I don't care who you are, what you're going through, what circumstance, the providence of God is able to provide for you. He can take care of things. Now, this poor lady, they had failed in the family had failed in their obligations for her. And by unconventional means, I get it, in order to uphold her family lineage, she takes matters into her own hands. But her story is not just one of survival, okay? It's a perseverance and hope and a testament how God can work through unexpected circumstances. Let me tell you, ladies, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. God's able to take care of things. He can take care of you. He took care of Tamar, didn't he? Tamar was ultimately vindicated. Let's look at the second lady, Rahab. Now, she's in verse 5 in Matthew chapter 1. But Rahab was the wife of Salmon and is the second woman mentioned in Jesus' family tree. And now, unlike Tamar, she didn't pretend to be a harlot. She was one. She was a prostitute there in Jericho. Now, this story comes out of Joshua 2, and it's a great story. Joshua and the Israelites are coming into the promised land, and the first big city that they needed to take was Jericho. And so Joshua sends two spies into Jericho, and the king of Jericho gets wind. There's two Israeli spies in town, and we need to find them so I can get them, take care of them. Well, guess where they went? Rahab offered to hide those spies in her house. Okay? Now remember, what's her occupation? Yeah. So Rahab declares to those two spies, I've heard all about your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how God delivered your people from Egypt, and how y'all crossed the Red Sea and over onto dry ground, and how God has taken care and exercised his power in the life of your people. And so she exercised her faith and hid these two spies and somehow got them out of the city without anybody knowing it. She exercised her faith. And so because of her faith, the spies, when they came back with the Israeli army, spared Rahab and her family. And by the way, she put a scarlet cord out the window. I could say a lot more about these kinds of things, but time-wise, we haven't got the time. But because of her faith, God included her in the family tree of Jesus. Now, she winds up marrying a man. And by the way, she's a Canaanite. She's a foreigner, okay? And she marries this guy named Salmon, who became, and she became the mother of Boaz. who would marry Ruth, and we'll hear about her in just a minute. So Rahab's faith turned her from an outcast into a hero of Israel. Do you know that she winds up in the Hebrew Hall of Fame, the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 that we're going to be getting to sometime next year? And by the way, James chapter 2 and verse 25 declares her faith on level with the faith of Abraham. Woo! And she winds up in the family tree of Jesus. And her event, her story teaches us that her inclusion in the genealogy of Jesus illustrates God's plan to extend salvation to everyone. Hallelujah. She's a Gentile, Canaanite, prostitute. Y'all tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor? But he actually, and I'll tell you, he'll save anybody who comes to him his way. And she exercises faith in him. Here's the third lady, Ruth. Now, you'll find Ruth's story recorded, of course, in the book of Ruth. And after losing her husband, you remember Naomi and Elimelech moved to Moab to escape the famine in Bethlehem. And while they were there, Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. And Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And y'all all know this story. And after Naomi decides to head back to Bethlehem, this wonderful daughter-in-law, this Moabite daughter-in-law, who for 10 generations, the Moabites couldn't even enter into the outer court of the temple. They were enemies of Israel. And the Moabites and Ammonites come from Lot. Now, I won't get into all that. But that's a sordid tale as well. And so, all of you remember what she told Naomi. Hey, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you stay, I'm going to stay. Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. And so she goes back to Bethlehem. And you know what God does? He provides a kinsman redeemer for Ruth, a man by the name of Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi and whom she married. And so Ruth becomes the great grandmother of King David. Are y'all getting all this? I know it's a lot to process, but again, God had a plan for solidifying her in the line and the lineage of the Messiah. And so Ruth's story is one of faithfulness and reward. Despite being a foreigner, she embraced the God of Israel, and he abundantly blessed her. And her life kind of foreshadows our ultimate Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so through God's providence, God can orchestrate and does orchestrate events for our good and his glory. Whatever you're going through, God's at work. Look at somebody and tell them he's working. All right, here's the fourth one. Now, Bathsheba is not directly named in Matthew's genealogy, but she's referred to as the wife of Uriah. And by the way, Uriah was a Hittite. And so again, we've got another Gentile here that we're talking about. Aren't you thankful that God didn't just come for the Jews? Amen. Center crowd, aren't y'all thankful that God didn't just come for the Jewish people? Some of y'all wouldn't speak back if, this reference to Bathsheba kind of highlights the scandalous relationship between she and King David. Now, you'll find this in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. But she's often blamed for seducing David. The deal is she's performing a ritual cleansing, purification Women had to do that. And so David's out of God's will. He's up on the rooftop, the roof of the palace, and he sees this beautiful, gorgeous woman bathing. And so he sends for her, brings her up to the palace, and y'all know the rest of the story. She winds up impregnated, and David tries to cover his sin by all different kinds of things, and eventually has Uriah, her husband, put on the front lines. And you know what happens to him? Yeah. And so she's pregnant, and their first child died. You can read about that in the book of Psalms as well. In Psalm 50, man, David's talking about it. Heart was broken. But Bathsheba later became the mother of Solomon, who wound up becoming Israel's wisest person. Scripture tells us that. And though her story began in tragedy, and by the way, well, if I was Bathsheba, I never would have gone to the temple. Oh, yeah, you would have. You might have gotten executed if you didn't do what the king wanted you to do. So it wasn't all her fault. Are y'all with me so far? And so Bathsheba experienced the grace of God, and she became an influential queen and mother to Solomon. Now, one of David's other sons, Adonijah, wanted to become king. Well, you know what she did? She became an advocate for her son Solomon. She said, David, my king, we have already agreed that God has anointed Solomon as the next king. And so she becomes the queen mother and the just a wonderful, wonderful story. Her inclusion in the line and lineage of Jesus is God's ability to take something broken and turn it into something beautiful. He can turn ashes into beauty. He can turn trouble into triumph. God specializes in taking something ugly and horrible looking, and he can turn it. That's how big God is. I don't know what you're going through, but I want to tell you, just like Bathsheba, you can experience the grace of God if you'll turn that situation over to him. That's the problem. We want to take care of it when all he has to do is take care of it. Hallelujah. And so I describe Bathsheba as the victimized queen. But she comes in here in the family tree of Jesus. So, here's the last one. Y'all ready for this one? Y'all all know this story. You might not have known some of these others, but y'all know about Mary. Now, this is the only Jewish girl listed. All the rest are Gentiles, two Canaanites, one Moabite, one Hittite. I've often wondered why we don't call Addite to us. Clarksvilleites. Murfreesboroites. Anyways. Mary. I call her the obedient servant. Now, she's a young virgin, engaged, betrothed to Joseph, which could usually last, a Jewish betrothal usually lasted about a year. Billy's done a great job teaching this in adult Sunday school. But usually lasted about a year. And the only way that they could be legally unmarried, unbetrothed, was to get a divorce. Well, the angel Gabriel shows up and says, guess what, Mary? God's chosen you to be the mother of the Messiah. Girls, what about that? She must have been something special. But now, the scripture says over in Luke that she was chosen among women, not above women. So our Catholic brothers and sisters don't quite have it all right there, okay? We don't worship Mary, but we thank a lot of Mary. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so Gabriel tells her, you're going to have, but I don't even know a man, she said. I haven't even known a man. He said, that's right. Because the Holy Spirit's going to be the one that impregnates you. And you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sin. Hallelujah. And this fulfills, you know, Isaiah 7:14. Y'all know that. the virgin shall give birth to a son. And you'll call that son Emmanuel because he's going to be God with us. So all kinds of scripture being fulfilled. And unbelievably, the angel speaks to Joseph because he's an honorable man. He was going to put her away privately. She could be stoned to death. And this was a source of pain and suffering all of her life. The religious crowd often told Jesus, well, at least we're not a product of fornication like you are. She drugged this. Can you imagine the wagon? Y'all know how people love to gossip? Can you imagine when she winds up pregnant? She has to go to her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. And she's probably, although 9 months pregnant, that donkey ride all the way down to Bethlehem, she's probably glad to get out of Nazareth. She carried this burden around with her, but she believed God. And I've got to read this first. I've got to read this to you. I want to get this right. Luke chapter 1, verse 38 said, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord.'" All right, Lord, I'll be obedient. I'll do what you're telling me to do. Doesn't make sense. The rest of the world not going to understand, but I'm obedient. I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. Let it be to me according to your word. And then Elizabeth says down in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so Mary's obedience and trust in the Lord God's plan allowed her to become the mother of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And her faith just echoes down through the scriptures to us. What a great woman this was. We see her. Can you imagine raising Jesus in your home? And she nurtures him and guides him and teaches him. By the way, ladies, you keep teaching those kids of yours. And if you don't have kids at home anymore, find somebody else's kids to teach and pour into. It makes a difference. And she's involved in his ministry. Do you remember at the Lord's first miracle? The guest of, he ran out of wine. And you know what she said? She told the servants, "Hey, my son's got this. You just do what he tells you to do." And she was a source of comfort for her son. She's even at the foot of the cross when he's dying. Not only for our sin, but her sin. And so her story underscores the importance of submitting to God's will. Now, I've said all of that to say this morning. Despite these cultural norms that we've looked at this morning in the Lord's family tree, it highlights the grace of God, doesn't it? In the lives of these five ladies. In a society that overlooked women and played down motherhood and womanhood, these five ladies broke through barriers with faith, courage, perseverance, trust, obedience, and the grace of God was at work the whole time. And their stories remind us that God values every single person. He takes no pleasure in the death of lost people. But he has a plan. And regardless of their past and their questionable character or background, God still put them in the family tree of Jesus. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary demonstrate that God's able to turn things around. And he can turn things around in your life. Trust his power this morning to redeem you, to restore you. Nobody's beyond his reach. God's got a greater plan sometimes than we can even begin to imagine. And His salvation is for everyone, to all people, not just Israel, but all people. The same message that Jesus would later preach. If you're here this morning and you're in need, or you've got something going on in your life and you don't get it, you don't understand it, God knows. I think we sang about that, didn't we? God knows what's going on in your life. He knows about the hurt and the disappointments that you've had lately. He knows about the suffering that you're going through. And He knows about the loneliness. He knows about that health issue you've got. He knows about those kids in your family. And not only does He know about it, listen to me. I don't know who I'm talking to, but He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even ask or think this morning, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we give God praise for these five females that He gave us this morning? Well, it's response time. It always is. Anytime you hear the Word of God, there's an opportunity to respond in faith to it. And I know how we are. I do. This is my 8th year as your pastor, and I've gotten to know y'all. And bless God, you've gotten to know me. You don't have to be afraid of making a decision for Christ. As a matter of fact, it'll be the best thing you ever did. And an altar is a place where you can receive what you need. It's a place to meet God. It's a place where your coming says, I'm accountable. I want you to pray for me. And we'll do that. Man, if you need Jesus today, you're in the right spot. His grace is supplied for all people, everywhere. And if you'd be willing to turn from your sin today and turn to Him as your Redeemer, your Savior, He will receive you. If you've got other issues, I just mentioned some of them. But this is the right place to be in. And we have a wonderful war room right back here. We do war. You know how we do our battle? That's right. And you need private prayer, you need some count, that's the place to head. Or right here. Well, I can make that decision in my seat. Yeah, but you're the only one that'll know about it. You need the power of people praying over you. Father, this is your time. This is your Mother's Day. And Lord, we need you to move in the lives of people all over this congregation so that Jesus can be glorified. Help us, like Mary, to be obedient to your call and command on our life. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Brother Andrew.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.